Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists.
Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
Hey, welcome to the Rahasi Uncensored Spiritual Activist Channel on BBS Radio. Today we're going to be talking with Peter Melton, longtime friend and acquaintance and fellow spiritual traveler. And him and I were just talking off the air, and we're going to continue this conversation about different ways to look at what's going on. Myself, I can sort of see why Nero was playing the fiddle on his roof while Rome burned. Because you just sort of get to that point where you go, what the fuck, you know? Let's listen to some music, dance.
I think
the whole world has entered this space now where we're realizing that it's not working. The old paradigm is in our face. It's not working. And like I was telling you earlier, Peter, the whole world has been slapped in the face collectively. That has to do something to the collective consciousness. Plus, we've been forced on a global sabbatical where we've had to go home, and there's been a lot of suicides because a lot of us have been avoiding what we don't want to look at, which is ourselves. And the entertainment to some degree is gone about drawing us out into the workforce. The old paradigm has its support systems that would continually draw us back into that reality, but now that's been gone. So a lot of us are out here treading water. And let's get your thoughts on that, Peter.
Yeah, thank you. Great to see you, my friend, Rahasi Uncensored. You've always been uncensored in my world, and I love that about you. And I appreciate that you continue to push that and dare, and as you always have in my world, dare me to think bigger, beyond the box, outside in the space station or wherever we are in your background there, right? That there's so many different ways, places to see us from, mirrors by which to view ourselves. And you hit that on the head with your introduction, that the coronavirus has created this whole new mirror for me to see myself in, and for me to see my community in, and for me to see my species in, right? It's like, wow. And it's to some degree fascinating. Now, I have to start by saying I'm very privileged. I'm in a good place. I'm healthy. My family's healthy. And this time has brought up so much creativity for me. And part of me feels guilty about that, to be quite honest, because I know so many people are going through such a hard time. And for whatever reason, that's not my role in this virus game, in this situation, in this moment of humanity. And it's just blown open my creativity and my willingness to be daring with how far out there I can think, and how far out there I can dare to imagine how can we hold ourselves in this time, that we need these tools. We need different tools than we're used to using, right? We used to have our jobs and our success and our body strength and our relationships and our thinking of the future and our retirement and our vacation and, right, all these things were the tools that we used to put our worlds together. And now most of those have been pulled out, right? Just pulled out from under us. And collectively and individually, we're like going, whoa, what just happened, right? I woke up from the dream, as you were saying earlier. And where am I? Who am I? What am I? Wow.
Yeah, I think the thing about waking up from a dream too, that most people don't really stop to think about, like when you're in the dream makes sense. Everything makes sense. You know, purple elephants can fly, talk show hosts can be president, you know, whatever happens in the dream makes sense. But when you start waking up from the dream, the first thing that happens is it starts to unravel and it no longer makes sense. You go, wait a minute now, this doesn't seem quite right to me. Then as you're waking up, you realize the collectiveness of the dream. All of the entities and peoples and beings in the dream are actually you. As you wake up to that one consciousness, and I think the whole planet right now is to some degree waking up to their oneness and realizing that oneness is a shared oneness, and it's paradoxical in a way.
Yeah, it's delightfully trippy is kind of how it moves through me. And this, when the quarantine started, and it's almost been 2 months for me now because I got an early start on it, and it's, there was these questions and me starting to look and being able to imagine a little bit into the future and going, wow, this is really quite a trip on our guys. This isn't going to be a short, quick change and back to normal. And it's still not going to be a quick change back to normal, in my opinion. And now everybody daring to say, we don't even maybe want to go back to normal. But there's that temptation, like you were saying, in a dream, when you start to wake up, you go, wait, I want to stay in the dream. I was liking that, or it was comfortable. It was known. Let me stay in the dream. But it continues to pixelate and unravel, and then you can hardly even remember what the dream was anymore. But there's this, what really got me about the point of oneness that you were talking about, or this connection, really, oneness. Some people have trouble with that word. It is pretty big to try to hold, if you haven't been trying to hold it for a while, but just this connection, you know, everyone's now able to feel into this. We're all in it together, and we're all connected, and what I do affects you, and what she does affects him, and oops, that's all around the globe too. But as I dared to expand on that, it's like, well, wait a minute, we're not just one as a species, we're one as planet mates with all the other planet, all the other animals and nature, and that's all one connected thing too, that sometimes we tap into, but usually we get pretty human-centric about our adventure. And wait a minute, not only are we just all the nature and planet mates, we're joined as the Earth, right? And I start realizing there's so many different levels of perspective from which to see what's going on, because I am the Earth earthing, right? And in that Earth earthingness of 4.5 billion years, this has come up, right? Blah, the Earth went blah, and here I am, right? And here we all are trying to figure out what's going on. And so we are the Earth happening. And if we're the Earth happening, then we're also the Earth and the Sun happening, right? And without the Earth falling in love with the Sun, none of this would have happened. And without the galaxies forming, none of this would have happened. And with whatever the cosmic urge came out of the mystery void, whatever you want to think, without that happening, none of the urge of the cosmos would have happened. So you've got this multi-layer identity that is available in this human consciousness to say, I am the urging of the universe. I am the urging of the cosmos. I'm the urging of the galaxy. I'm the urging of the solar system. I am the urging of the Earth-Sun connection. I'm the urging of the Earth. I'm the urging of life on Earth, nature, animals, people, humanity, me, right? And there's all these layers of perception that are available. And when I tapped in, and it just happened this past month with this time and space to sit in the quarantine, oh my, I'm all of that. I really am. All of those different levels of possibility and perspective. And when I count all of those up, right, it's just a whole different way of knowing myself.
Do you see that along with what you're talking about, there's an underlying change that has happened? I know I can see it myself and many, many other people around me right now. And the only way I can think of to explain it is if somebody told you all the punchlines to every joke ever written and you go out to a comedy show, it's no longer funny anymore. You have to have the punchline be a surprise. Or you go to a magician and he's doing the magic show with the rabbit and you go, oh, the rabbit's actually in a box underneath the hat. The magic is gone. The punchline's gone. And things have changed. What used to be funny is no longer funny anymore. What used to be magic is no longer magic anymore. And it's taken us to a different realm of perception to see the true majestic part of life that really is magic and a mystery, and not getting caught down here on this superficial bullshit level that we entwined ourselves into and get entangled in. And it's the stupid wow moments that we look back and go, that wasn't even a wow moment at all. It was just like, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Well said. And what a neat box to open. What a neat knot to start to untangle, right? How deeply caught up in this web have we become, have I become? And when we start to untangle it, right, there's a fear. Here's what when you said that would come up for me. There's a fear that if I figure out what's happening, that I'm going to lose the magic. If I find out what's happening with the magic show, that I'm going to lose the thrill of going to a magic show. But what I've come to realize, and many, and I think what you're pointing at, is that while that may be true to your limited Peter as human people, right, that the regular magic show isn't going to hold what it held anymore, that there's these other layers of existence, right, these other layers of knowingness that tap us into a grander magic, and more than just magic, that we're connected to that magic, right? It's not some magician on stage showing me some trick. It's me showing me some trick, right? That me as nature is doing all of this.
Yeah, and I suppose I should be careful not to drag us down the conspiracy rabbit hole, but we have to also entertain the idea that many, many years ago, the powers that be have learned that what we're calling magic and a comedy show are distractions to keep us from actually looking at what's going on and taking a deep look at the puppeteers and seeing that so much of our world has been orchestrated, planned out. I remember I was listening to William Cooper in Pale Horse, and this was like back in the 70s, you know, and you have to remember this guy was shot in his driveway by the sheriffs. He had no gun, anything, you know. They considered him some kind of a threat, I guess, which is, I think, was an overreaction. But he said in The Pale Horse, he said that, now, as the years go by, this book will be looked at like I'm trying to be a prophet or trying to tell you the future. Rest assured, I'm not. I've seen the paperwork. I've seen the plan. That's all. I am telling you what the plan is. So as it unfolds, don't put any mystical bullshit on this. I'm just telling you, here's the paperwork. And now it's been so much paper's been released from the, I had some guy on my show here, three or four shows ago. He's dead now. He was talking about the fact that he got a bunch of White House memos talking about all this, and he started speaking out about it. He met with an untimely accident down in Mexico, and nobody thinks it was an accident, you know, but people need to be brave right now. People need to start speaking out. I've been listening to Brian Rose of London Real, LondonReal.tv. He was deplatformed like Alex Jones, but they deplatformed the wrong guy. This guy is super well respected in England. hundreds of millions of views over the years. He's had all kinds of beautiful people on his show. He had David Icke on, and that's why they deplatformed him off of YouTube and Vimeo and even LinkedIn and Yelp and everything, you know, just wiped him out digitally. And all David Icke talked about was he connected two things together, 5G and the coronavirus. Now, you can talk about the coronavirus and you can talk about 5G, but you can't talk about how they're connected together. And that tells me that there's something about it. If there was nothing about it, they should have just let them talk and go on with that, you know? I remember years ago, I was told I was going to do an article about reptilians and the government. And I got a call almost right away from an insider that is in, he says, don't do it. You can talk about reptilians and you can talk about the governments, but don't ever talk about the connection. Otherwise, your world will get turned upside down.
Yeah. You know, you point at something that's really big is how much do we think we even know about what's going on? And I have a buddy who doesn't have the same beliefs as me. And I was talking to him the other day and I said, what percentage of what's going on do you think you know, right? Of this whole incredible mystery of life, you know, do you think you know 80%? Do you think you know 60, 40? What is that number, right? He couldn't really answer, but it got to the point of, first of all, I probably, you know, God, would I be super bragging to think I know 20% of what's going on in the planet, right? That probably right. even seems outlandish. But what percentage do you think the government is sharing with even what the government knows, or whoever it is they are that is pulling the strings, right? What percentage of what they know do you think they share? You know, is that 20%? Is that 50%? Probably not a whole lot more than that. I don't know, right? It's just it's a fun mind experiment to think, here we are trying to figure this out, and we've only got a couple pieces of the puzzle.
Right.
It's like these game shows where they get a few letters on the Wheel of Fortune and they got to try to figure out what the answer is, right? And that's to some degree what we're doing. We're playing this game. We're trying to put this puzzle together, and we only have a couple of pieces. And so we're making up a whole bunch of the rest of it to try to make some kind of sense of this incomplete puzzle that we find ourselves in for whatever reason we're here. And to dare to just be with this uncertainty, this unknowing, because us humans have gotten very attached to, I want to know the truth. I want to know what's going on. And right, what's that famous line? You can't handle the truth, right? It's like, and there's so much, and I know so much exploring that you've done with whether it's UFOs or bases on the moon or, you know, God knows, and all these different things of telepathies or, you know, there's a zillion different categories that we hardly know anything about.
Well,
yet we're trying to figure it out.
Think of it this way. If reality would be like represented in a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, okay? That is the total reality. Well, 95% of that is dark energy and dark matter. So now you have to tear off a little corner of that, throw all the rest away. Now you have this little teeny piece, and of the electromagnetic scale, we're only going to get a tiny slice of the light spectrum, a little bit of this and that. So you got to tear off a bunch of that. Then you turn it sideways and we're only getting three dimensions of a multidimensional world, at least eight dimensions. So now you got to, by the time you get down to the little piece that we're basing all of our conclusions on, you go, what the hell am I thinking? You know, the real answer to any of the questions I might have has to come from an internal source far beyond this three-dimensional realm that we live in.
Yeah, you almost have to pause after getting to that place in an interview. It's just like, wow, here we are trying to figure out a whole puzzle based on one piece, right? Yeah. It's like, and yet we yearn. And yet within this code of life is this yearning to understand, to attempt to figure out. It's, for me, it's often the juice of life, right? It's like, well, okay, I only have one piece. I'm still gonna guess, right? Is it an elephant on the Serengeti? Or, you know, I don't know what the puzzle is. Is
it a frog, you know, one of the things that happens, Peter, and I've noticed this about everything that we're talking about right now. It'd be like if I had a piece of paper, and on that paper, there's a jungle and bushes and trees and just a quagmire of environmental chaos. And I tell you, there's embedded in this picture is a donkey pulling a cart. And I say, can you see it? You go, no, I can't see it at all. I say, no, okay, look here. And then after I point it out, you go, oh yeah, I see it. Well, from that point on, every time you see that picture, what pops out? It's the donkey in the cart. And it's the same way with truth. Once you identify a few fundamental basic truths about whatever, the government, UFOs, whatever's going on with the banking system and the coronavirus, there is something that pops out when you're watching the news, the so-called fake news and alternative news and everything else. Once you get to a certain level, some of the stuff pops out. And you realize that, oh, okay, that's what they're actually saying. And then you go out and you get three or four more sources. Like I've interviewed three ex-CIA whistleblowers. When they all point to the same thing, you can identify that as the donkey and the cart. Now you can take that perception out into the world, and that's your touchstone for a lot of different things.
Yeah, and there's... as you say that, I think there's hundreds of those touchstones, and everybody's drawn to different touchstones, even to the degree that people are drawn, in my experience, people are drawn to touchstones that are complete polar opposites, right? Which we find in our country right now, is that some people are absolutely sure that this way is the way to do it. And there's roughly half of the rest of the world that thinks that's absolutely wrong, right? And humanity, or at least this US version of humanity as a subset, we're in this spot where it's like half of us are using certain these touchstones and the other half are using other touchstones. Do you open up? Do you stay quarantined? Do you close business? Do you not? Do you democracy? Do you socialism? Do you pray for aliens to come and, you know, give us another chance to do this again? Do we go to another planet? You know, it's like all these crazy different possibilities as humanity urges itself forward, almost in an evolutionary urging kind of way. It's like, where do we go from here? And for some people, I think they're realizing this path isn't working. Can I get off of this evolutionary track soon enough to keep the gene pool going? You know, as you dare to look at the long history of evolution of life and just feel that urging, that earthing, right? Just this, what next? How, where, when, why? And fascinating. And so this is without pointing at it exactly, this is exactly that feeling you were talking about when you leave the small story that's trying to be entertained by the magician on stage and you get into the bigger story and realize that I am life happening. I am that urge. I am that creative urge that wants to figure out what next is. And that evolutionary intuition urging itself out of me in whatever little steps it might be. That's that next layer of magic that we can not only tap into and watch as if we're a person in the audience, but be, right? We're the magician and the stage and the audience and everybody watching on TV. We're all of it at one time.
Yeah, this is where the this is where the magic and the mystery kicks in. And I think we can take clues from nature. Like if you're a flower and you look back on what you just came from, and there's like three petals there, and you see there's five petals here. Nature doesn't go, oh, should I take the next step and be eight petals? No, it's a pre-programmed step through the Fibonacci sequence. Even nature doesn't know what's happening next until it sees where it's been and where it is and add those together. Then it steps out into the darkness and lets nature unfold the way it's been unfolding for billions of years, maybe trillions. And I think we're that right now. We're in the mysterious place where we need to take this step out into the darkness. And I remember when I was a kid, I was so afraid of walking into a dark room because, you know, the monsters are going to get me, right? You know, they're underneath the bed and everywhere. But what I realized, I wasn't afraid of the darkness. I was afraid to turn on the light to see what was in the darkness. Once I turned on the light, I went, oh, okay. And I'd just do whatever I had to do. I think the light's been turned on and we're starting to see that a lot of the darkness, that's the only reason it's been working, because it's been in the dark.
Yeah, well said. And you were hitting on, you know, the urge of life blossoming as a flower. And I often use that phrase. It's like the same magic that grows the flower is growing me, right? And how ridiculous have we become to one blade of grass looking over to the other blade of grass and saying, ha ha, I'm bigger than you and I'm greener than you and I'm taller than you, right? That is at the core level. That's how silly it is for us as humans to compare each other and ourselves, is that we're comparing our own... we set it up to where we would get lost is where it keeps coming back to for me, is that somehow in the setting up, in the dreaming up of this universal urging, 14.5 billion years worth, as far as we think we know, right? That within this urging, we set it up that it was going to be really confusing and we were going to forget most everything along the way.
And think about this. Okay. Now, if most scientists are agreeing that if they were really pressed against the wall and said, what is the template of life? Most of them are leaning towards a holographic projection of consciousness or an AI simulation or something. Okay. Now, If that is true, if this is a projection of consciousness, and we are entering into it as we would enter into a game on the internet, okay, we can play the game for a while, but we know we're not really going to get hurt. We're not really going to die. We're not really, you know, what would make the game really, really take on a reality step? And that would be to go into the game and lose our memory that it's a game. And I think that's where we are right now. We have knowingly thought, okay, we're going to play this game, and now we're in it, and I'm going to lose my memory so and make it really, really real, and I'm going to find my way out of this.
That's it. I think that's what's so beautiful about having the space to have a conversation like this is as you peel off those layers, you get to there. I get to there. It's like how Alan Watts says it so wonderfully. With infinity, to do everything, eventually we were going to get to this game.
Right.
Eventually we're going to get to this game where we said, hey, I know, Rahasha, let's go out there and let's completely forget that we're the magic of the universe. And you'll think that you're a separate little thing, and I'll think that I'm separate, and we have to fight over resources, and we'll completely forget. And if we ever almost remember, there'll be a reset button that makes us forget again, and we'll have this forgetting and remembering dance, and let's just see what happens. Because in the infinite realm, there's no time. There's
right.
no time that's going by, and we tricked ourselves so beautifully with time, because without time, it's like, oh, you do whatever you want, right? So, it doesn't matter. And
so what's going to happen, Peter, if you and I, all of a sudden, we wake up on somebody's living room floor and we rise up and there's some Rastafarian saying, hey, dude, do you want another hit? We go, nah, I think we've had enough.
Right. It's like, that was great. Let's try another one. What's in the red? What's over there in the red box? Right. What else do you got? That was beautiful. And that's an analogy I often use is like, here we are on the infinite porch, right? If we're infinite life and me and you are just having a chat, hey, Rasha, we got infinity to fill. What do you want to do today? Right. It's like, all right, let's play this game where we forget and we go down and we think we're separate. Okay. And so, right, all right, sign up. Are you going to do it? Sign your name on the bottom line, right? So I got my pen out and I'm signing my name. I finish signing my name and then poof. And then in no time later, I come back and I'm like, whoa, what just happened? I was on this planet and my name was Peter and I lived this whole 100 years. And I look down and my hand is still on the pen, is still on the paper where I signed up for this game,
right?
And I'm like, oh my God, my hand is still on the paper. And you're saying, well, of course it is, you knucklehead. There's no time, right? No time went by in the 14 billion year experiment that we called, you know, the cosmos and solar systems and this Earth human thing. No time went by. It's like, man, that was a trip. That felt like lifetimes, right? That felt like billions of years condensed into no time. And that just fries my little brain, you know? But okay, whoo, and you shake it off, kind of like other things you might take that rock you for a moment and you shake it off. Okay, we still have infinity to fill. What's the next game? You want to do that one again? Here, you try that one and we're going to send you in as a dinosaur. See how it felt to be a dinosaur. Here we go. Right? Plug it in, hit enter.
We have all the time.
Don't be a dinosaur.
We have all the time in the world.
Yeah. And we have tricked ourselves so beautifully. When we made up that time, when we made up as part of this game, oh, they're going to forget that time is, you know, they're going to forget. They're not going to remember. Let's put this linear time thing in and really do a mind fuck on them, right? It's like, it's going to be crazy.
So you told me that you're getting into writing again. What have you been writing about lately?
Whew. Well, this quarantine really, really dared me to have the space to feel like I have the space. Like, again, I'm fortunate. I don't have a family to be concerned about or kids. I don't have a business that's struggling. So I'm in this unique spot where I have the freedom. And I just started to dare to think, how does all this make sense? How does it make sense? And I started to write one day and it just, my fingers wouldn't stop. And I wrote for 6 straight hours this Saturday a month ago now. And it's just like, oh my God, there's got to be different ways that we look at this from all these different levels I talked about before. we've got to dare to slow down enough to look at it from these different levels. So I've been writing about what different angles could I see this from? And from that, then all of a sudden, it's like it was Easter time. And I'm like, oh my God, we're in an Easter moment for humanity right now. Something is dying and something is being reborn. And I wrote this little thing called the This Easter Moment. And I sent it out and around, and it started getting some responses, and some people put it in their blogs, and people from around the world, you know, not a whole bunch of the people, but enough to go, hey, people like that. That was cool. And then what started moving in me was, I want to write something to the young kids. I don't have any children of my own, but I have a bunch of nieces and nephews, and I want to help them have it make sense to them, where we're at, what we're up to, what they're up to. And so I crafted this graduation speech, right? What would I say if they put me on stage to do a graduation speech? I wrote this 5,000 word speech, you know, that was going to take 15 minutes to say on stage. And then some group said, can you send us a 300 word graduation speech? And I'm like, oh my God, 5,000 words down to 300. Okay, you know, but I did it. And it's called Humanity Graduates Together. And it just came out. I just put it out yesterday. So I'm starting to share it around. And now I'm feeling like, oh, what would I say about Mother's Day? And right behind that is, what's real about 4th of July? Huh? What American dream? What could be said about how we try to see ourselves within what used to be the American dream? And then my brain just went boom, boom, and right to Christmas. And I'm writing about Christmas, right? It's like, what is Christmas 2020 hold in store for us? How will we be? Who do we choose to become within this unfolding of this new world? And how does that affect these things we used to bank on, like Christmas, et cetera, to hold us and to have this grounding or this hope or this happiness or this consumerism craziness, cleverly disguised as happiness. And so all these ideas are just wah, 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 wah. Something like that.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Peter, we actually need people like you, because I am, well, like when it comes Christmas time, I'm pretty sure we have put the powers that be in the corner. It's like cornering a snake or a tiger. You know, you got to be ready, because now they're up against it. And I think they're going to fight back. I see another epidemic coming in November, because now a small group of people that we could probably fit in our living room has brought the whole planet to their knees and actually talked them into going home and locking themselves away. And if this is a test run, which it really seems like, as the evidence keeps coming in, it is a militarized, genetically designed virus. That we all know that has to be. It had to come from a lab, which makes you wonder, why are they even doing this in the first place? Even if it was an accident, okay, what, that means you're going to do it on purpose someday? Come on. But I think as we get closer and closer, these powerful people are going to get desperate. And I think for the first time, they're realizing that they are indeed the 0.01% of the planet. And now they're faced with a whole global civilization that is waking up from the dream, and they can't figure out how to put this back in the bag. So now, even if it was an accident that this got out, or if it got out through natural means, it's, who was it, Cheney, that said, don't let a good chaos thing go to waste, you know, take advantage of it. Well, I think they seen this and said, okay, now's the time. Let's roll this out. And as it's rolling out, it's backfiring, because it's waking more and more and more people up, and, you know, deplatforming people like LondonRose.tv or LondonReal.tv. That is a big time mistake, because they're waking up a lot of people. He used to be a millionaire, probably still is, working in like the business sector. And he decided to take everything he knew and take it into the digital social world and do some amazing good things, well-respected. He does things where he's walking down the street talking with his camera, you know, saying what's going to be next. And people come up to him all the time. Hey, Brian, man, dude, hey, you know, get David Icke back on, or get Joe Dispenza back on, or Bruce Lipton back on. You know, everybody is like encouraging him. He says, this happens to me all the time. He says, nobody's coming up to me and saying, hey, what the hell are you doing? You know, you're messing up the world. Yeah. Everybody is on board with information coming out. And when you get people like Bruce Lipton, and matter of fact, Bruce Lipton's in this issue that just came out. You get together with Joe Dispenza, Greg Braden, and put those guys together with Alex Jones and people like David Icke. Okay, now we're talking about something incredibly different. Now we're talking about hard science. We're talking about Greg Braden with spiritual science and really validating what he says. Joe Dispenza with all of his biology and talking about how molecules work and how we're going about this whole vaccination thing wrong. We need to build up our bodies so we can learn to live with viruses. We're doing it all the time. They don't want to kill us. They want to learn how to live with us, but we need a strong immune system. And I think as we go into this different realm, we're all waking up, and this is freaking them out. Look what's happening to the monarchy. You know, Prince Andrew with the pedophile rings, the Pope, and being protected. Look at the last Pope. You know, let's face it, man, this guy was busted. He's in protective custody. All these pedophile groups are being laid bare. It's all coming out about the bank. The Federal Reserve isn't federal. There's no reserve. The only countries that we're dropping bombs on are the ones that say no to our fiat money system. There's too many people that's learning that, oh, wait, this is not magic. There's no trick here. Oh, there is a trick, actually. But this is no magic here. And once you know the trick, it sort of takes the mystique out of it. And I think right now is our window, man. If we don't take advantage of this window right fucking now and push it and say hell with, you know, saying the right thing. I was listening to Joe Rogan and he's talking to a comedian. The comedian's saying, we have a hard time doing stand-up comedy anymore because we're going to offend somebody. And first thing we know, they're out there picketing our comedy act because we said something against the Jews or the Muslims or something. He says, we can't, and that's what comedy is. It pushes the envelope. And once in a while, they go too far and they have to, well, yeah, we went a little bit too far. But this is what's happening all over. Academia, professors can't talk about anything except what is in the textbook. If they do, they get hammered on by the administration. If they say something to their students and it offends one of them, they go out and they start a group. And first thing you know, they're picketing against them. We're getting so touchy on this planet. And I think we all have to get over it. You know, if we want to talk about Jewish people, we can talk about Jewish people. It's not a big deal. I mean, I have some of the best Jewish friends on the planet, and they talk about Jewish people. I have some really good Black friends. They talk about their Black brothers and sisters. We all have to stop being so sensitive.
Yeah, you know, you're going down a track that's very powerful, and I was challenged a couple weeks ago now, and maybe this played a bigger part than I thought too. I was challenged by somebody to say, what's the beautiful way this unfolds? Come from where you are. How could you imagine this unfolding in a beautiful way? Right? Because there's so much in the activism world, there's so much resistance energy, there's so much this is wrong energy, and we need that and we have that. But it's like, okay, then what's the good story? How does it unfold beautifully? And I was resistant. I'm like, you know, I've been in the climate change game really deep for 7 years now. And a lot of these different quote unquote conspiracies or crazy ideas that are probably true or at least true to some degree. And all of that has twisted me toward this feeling of wanting to be right. Right, that there's definitely a part of me that wants to be right. And little by little, that part of me is being fed as more and more things are coming true. And boy, there's even something on CNN last week, this Road to Change, where the CNN guy on Saturday night is apologizing to his unborn child. I'm sorry, look what we did. Look at the world I'm giving you, right? That even on CNN Saturday night, they're saying, it's already here. The climate disruption is here. We got to quit kidding ourselves, you know, that those voices are deep in the mainstream now. And I felt some validation around that. But what continued to percolate in me was, what is that good story? How could I even pretend? You know, because here we're talking about what can we dream up? How can I hold this? How can I hold what I think I know and what I think I believe in a way that serves the urging? And what came through was this feeling like, okay, so if somehow me, the universe, life knows what it's up to, and we are guiding ourselves toward a positive, if you will, lack of a better word, guiding ourselves toward a beautiful future, a sustainable future, a more peaceful, loving future, if that's what's happening, right? If that's what the puzzle really is and we just can't see it yet, then how do I hold it? So Trump is pushing us to be very vigilant, and the way that we held, the way that we as government or whoever held the truth away was so that we would get so eager to find it, that we would that we'd figure it out. Enough of us would get fired up and we would figure it out and we would shine the light. We'd pull the curtain back on the wizard, right? And we would realize that these players were part of the game and they aren't separate from us as we dare to sink into oneness, right? As much as I would like to point my finger at Trump or any of the bad guys, right? They're part of me. I'm part of them. This is humanity unfolding in every different way. And one way is wanting it to be that way. And what if we're all in on it together, right? And what if he's in on it with us? And all of the people that are doing the things we think are wrong are somehow there to help us build our muscles and to help us be more free, independent, clear thinking humans. And we're going to take care of the planet. And we start, right? Then they dared me. And I was like, okay, so then people start waking up to this. And then this awakening just keeps multiplying because people are getting it. And we get this consciousness shift start happening. And then the earth itself starts kicking in a little bit more. And it's starting to clean things up. Like we're getting these hints of, you know, waters clearing up and skies clearing up and animals roaming free, some of these things that are happening. It's like, and that kept expanding. And we realized we needed to take care of the animals better and the waters and the skies. And we needed to do this. And the earth started helping us when it realized, because we are one consciousness. And so the earth made what shift it needed to make so that the ice caps didn't have to melt so fast. And we created this chance for us to have more time and more space to live a more peaceful, loving way. And we did it. And we started really understanding that we're all in this together. And we started acting that way. And humanity had this massive awakening, and right, to just dare to play with that kind of story.
Yeah.
And I was so surprised how that landed in me, Rahasha, because it's been, even as big of a optimist, peace kind of guy that I've been my whole life, I had shut that off for quite a few years, just thinking I was right, this thing's going down. And I dared to play with that. And it's just a couple of weeks ago, so this is very still new in me, to go, wow, is everything working together, right? You mentioned earlier, are we going to wake up from the dream and everybody's going to be there, right? And even your Donald Trumps of the world, if you will, and the aliens and God knows what else. Yeah, we played a whole bunch of tricks on you guys. We did everything we could to confuse you and mess you up. And we made love this crazy paradoxical thing that was all sideways all the time. We did everything we possibly could to confuse you guys and to see if you could figure it out, because we're just playing a game and there's no time going on. Nobody's losing here, right? And it's just this feeling of, oh my God, you tricked me so well. I got pranked. This whole thing was a prank. And oh my God, that's classic. And we just start laughing, which is what I think happens when I die anyway. I'm going to bust up laughing because it's a trick. It's a game. And everybody's in on it. All of you guys were in on it the whole time. Oh my God, I got so caught up. I hated that group so much because they were messing things up. And you're telling me that I set that up as all part of the game with Rahasha on the porch in Infinityville? Oh man, did we ever have a hoot? Right? Oh my God. So,
and to realize that everybody in this weird paradoxical sense is me, is you. You know, there's something about this that we cannot grok properly because we're using all of our predetermined mindsets and neural networks to figure out something that is way beyond our little monkey brain to figure out. You know, it's,
right. We only gave ourselves a fourth grade brain and told it to try to figure out calculus.
Right.
Right. That was part of the trick we played on ourselves. Here, let's give them this little brain. Give it a 4.0 brain. Okay. And then what level do you want the challenges to be, Rasha? Let's do a 10.6 challenges. Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah. Okay. And let's throw that time thing in and really mess with them. Oh, great. And separation. Yeah. Big old dose of separation. Full hit on separation. They are clearly separate from each other and from their planet and from all of it. They think they're humans living on the earth and that the earth is somehow the center of the universe. Ah, that'll be great, right?
Have you ever wondered if it is a game, at least on this level, it seems really real. And going way back to 1987, when Peter Russell made the global brain, you know, to stop and think, okay, if we have to figure out the next step, what brought us to this point? Okay, if the game is telling us that we started out as a quantum soup after the Big Bang, in that quantum soup, particles came together, subatomic particles, quarks, and all that, then the next level was when those particles came together to make atoms. Then after there was enough atoms, that came together to make molecules. Molecules came together to make cells, cells to organisms. And here we are, we're planetary cells, planetary human beings. Now, if that is holding true to this point, it seems like traditionally, every time there is a certain amount of something, whatever that level is, it comes together to form the next cellular component of a next higher level of an even larger organism. Now, if that's true, we have enough people on this planet right now to ignite a global planetary consciousness. And maybe the next step is to become a planetary conscious being. And maybe that's what a lot of people are, this is causing them to pay more attention to the planet. Hey, you can't just keep doing this to the planet. This is us, basically. But that even that would be the next step to solar consciousness. And the solar consciousness would be the next step to galactic, and galactic to universal. Maybe we're working our way back to a unified universal consciousness, all the way back to the quantum explosion of the Big Bang, all the way up. We just keep unifying and pulling together to higher and higher levels of complexity.
That's it. That's what I was talking about earlier, this identifying on all these other layers, all these other levels, is that we're not humans on Earth. We're Earth that grew these little humans, right? And so I could know myself as Earth, that Peter is one finger of the zillion tentacles on Earth, right? But I think Peter's everything, right? Like, hey, come on, just a finger on a hand, on a whole body, on a whole planet, in a whole galaxy, right? That the level of possible self-identifying levels is just fascinating. But the Earth is the one we're on. Or maybe we're still on the humanity to even just know ourselves as one humanity is unfolding. But at the same time, we're knowing ourselves as the Earth, earthing, and not the Earth, right? I got an argument the other day with these guys. Is it Earth or the Earth? Why would we call it the Earth? We don't call it the Jupiter, right? It's like it's Earth. This is this game of separation that we put into the game, right? Yep. Remind them that they're separate. Let's call it the Earth. We should protect the Earth at least one day out of the year, right? It's like it's humorous. It's downright comical. If we could look, just take a step back and see ourselves in this process and how lost we chose to be. Right? We set up the game and we're in it and we're lost. And then we remember for a second and then we're lost. And that's what we're up to. And you hit it right on the head with those different levels that we're also the sun. This is a solar moment. This is a solar expression. This isn't a totally earth expression and surely not a total human expression. This is the sun said, right? The earth, this is part of my story. The earth fell in love with the sun, right? Brian Swim, I love that guy and his work with the California Institute of Integral Studies. These cosmologists, just imagine what it was, the Earth. We fell in love with the sun.
And without that, falling in love with the sun, none of this happens. Right. This is a love affair of two cosmic bodies, right? That decided, okay, let's go around. Right? So they're going around together and loving each other. And the sun comes down and the earth learned how to receive the sun with photosynthesis and grow all this stuff. And somehow amidst growing all this stuff, it grew these beings, and these beings learned how to take the sun in and do all this stuff. That the earth is a grand solar energy project, right? All of life on earth is a solar energy project. And now here us humans are going, hey, maybe we can capture the light of the sun, right? Which is what we've been doing the whole entire time.
And we don't realize maybe what is locked up in our genetics too, because not only the sun through little packets of photons, there could be a lot of information in there that we could, in a Heinleinian sense, sort of grok out and get a higher form of information. But also the fact that locked up inside of our genetic code could be the photosynthesis system. You know, it could be that, you know, we're, and this is another thing that's reflected out there, people becoming vegetarians, da 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 da. We know that somewhere inside we need to get higher and higher energetic food. And it could be that someday we will absorb sunlight as our ingested food energy intake, and then we really would be in reverence to the sun. I guess we could start a religion to the sun. Oh wait, I guess we did.
Oh hey, well, there's already been 100 of those. Whoops. We could, some of those worked really good though. Maybe we could do that. We could follow what some of those other ones did. That'd be great. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's right. Getting into, you talked about the particles in the cosmic soup, right? This quantum goo that somehow turned into you and me, right? That somehow in that goo was the urge of more. And within that urge of more was this randomness or not of everything that could be created, right? Within the goo was the knowledge that the acorn was going to create the oak tree, and the oak tree was going to have a branch, and the bird was going to use part of the broken branch to build its nest, to raise its kids, to right, that kind of complexity existed within the goo of the start of the universe.
This is truly magic right now. Just looking at you and listening to what you're saying, this is magic right now. I mean, everything that's happening. Right. And I think Carl Sagan once said, we are the cosmos's way to see itself. We are back, the cosmos is looking back at itself, looking out, looking in, and this is the grand Leela, the play of life that we're involved in right now. So Peter, we have about 5 minutes. Tell me what's in your immediate future.
Great, so because you're just on something that somebody asked me, well, what can we do now, right? And I said, what we can do now is remember. Just what we're talking about. Remember that, yes, I'm Peter human, but also, yes, I'm Peter as part of the human family, and then the Earth family of all the playmates, and then Peter as nature, and Peter as Earth, and Peter as Earth sun, and Peter as solar system, and Peter as galaxy, and Peter as cosmos, and Peter as infinite cosmic soup, and Peter as the mystery that whatever started this. On any of those levels, spend a minute remembering that that's part of who you are. And in that remembering, you're reporting back to the cosmos, right? And the cosmos is technologically able to handle the zillion, zillion, zillion report backs that are all coming from every single being that's sending love and praise and remembering. Ah, I get it. I remember. I'm the earth. Oh, and I'm the sun, and I'm the cosmos, and I'm the primordial soup that somehow burst into existence. I'm all of it. I'm this urge. I'm this 14 billion year universal urging is what I am. That's what you can do right now, because right now is all there is. Remember the game, the trick of time we played on ourselves was a really quite a doozer. But we try to say, what can I do? And so many times that right after that, someone says, well, in the future, I could do this, right? And when we come out of the quarantine, it's like, no. Now, right? And that's what the quarantine has done for me, is it made the future so foggy that there was just no use looking. It's like you're on a hike and you don't look out into the hills anymore because it's foggy. All you can look at is this step now. And that's what's happening. This presence is emerging in humanity, and whatever level it's happening for you, it's happening to everyone at some level, this emergence, this presencing. and we're becoming aware. We're waking up to, oh, wait, it's now, isn't it? Now is now. That's not just a thing I put up on the wall that says, be here now. It's it. And we've said it all 100 times, of course. The present moment is all there is. It's a gift and all these wonderful little things. But to get myself there, to take myself on that journey from being so past and future focused to being now. And maybe that's why we hold our hands together, right? In the namaste and in the praying is this remembering. Maybe that's why we clap. Now. It's happening now. We're doing all these things to remind ourselves that it's now and that it's all connected. And that's also the new hand signal that I'm up to is I call the unity sign to help us remember that we're in this thing together. And it starts with the old two-finger peace sign. But now this means we used to think we were separate from each other, separate from the planet, separate from the cosmos, separate from the mystery. But we're remembering, right? We used to think we were separate, but we're remembering. And here in our heart is where we remember that. And when we come from that heart-based, unified field, we can act together and create peace on the planet. And so that's the unity sign. We thought we were separate. We know we're not, and we can do it, right? And what we can do it means is remember. One moment at a time, in any of those different levels, is to remember who we really are and the game we're playing with ourselves and this grand illusion and the grand magic that's behind it all that we're doing. We are the magic that we're looking for. We're the fish in the water saying, what water, right? But we're the water and the fish. And we've played this amazing game with ourselves and this trick on ourselves. And we're waking up to the fact that we did it to ourselves. We're not victims. We're playing a game on the infinite porch. And it's a blast, period.
Yeah, that it is, Peter. It's a total blast. And I think where we are now is, for millennia, we've talked about what chocolate tastes like, and now we've been given a chunk of chocolate, and we're going,
Yeah.
Oh, this is a different kind of experience now.
Right. It's embodied. So many people are using the term embodiment now, right? Is to know ourselves as the cosmos through this body, right? And it's like, oh, I got to use the body, not just my mind or not just my heart. And I know I've been in my mind way too much in my life. And now I'm starting to feel things in my body, right? It was imagining what chocolate felt like and tasted like. But now I got a piece. It's like, I got to use my body to see this and to hear the bird chirping and to know that the bird, the sound, the vibrations are matching the wisdom in my ear. And this, the chirp is making love to my ability to hear. Right? And I'm in that connection with every certain sense in my body, the hearing and the touch and the sight and the smell and the taste. Oh, this is the magic you were talking about, Rahasha. This is what's available when I tap into the fullness. Ah.
Well, yes. Dang it, the time is running out on us.
There's no time.
Okay, Peter, we're going to have to do this again sometime.
Thank you. All right, I'm here, brother. Much love.
Thank you for coming on.